1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're continuing our study of verses 12 through 22, being a biblical church family. As you can see, this is part number 4. Our main lesson that we're carrying with us is this, that a biblical church has members who behave as they ought to behave. And let me tell you, the New Testament epistles speak a lot on church membership. This is not something that's made up. This is true. Church membership is spoken often of in the New Testament. And if you recall, most of the churches, well, all the churches of the New Testament were local body of believers like Liberty Baptist Church. All right? There is the church universal, no doubt about that. But there is, more importantly in my mind, the church local, because that's through whom the Lord works closest to where the church is at. So I just wanted to throw that out there at you this morning. And it goes on to say, and that makes a healthy, happy, and holy church family. As we all know, Thanksgiving's this week. Whoo, hallelujah. It's hard to believe. It's already here. And Christmas is just around the corner, and it's still going to catch us all by surprise. But Thanksgiving is coming up this Thursday. And so here's my Thanksgiving illustration, okay? I've taken it from the cartoons Peanuts, as you all are very familiar with. And so the setting is this. Snoopy is getting dog food for his Thanksgiving Day dinner. And he is aware that everyone else in the family is inside getting turkey. So he meditates on that and he thinks about it to himself and he says, how about that? Everyone is eating turkey today, but just because I'm a dog, I get dog food. Well, he trots on off to his doghouse. He positions himself on top of the doghouse, and then he thinks again, and he says to himself, of course, it could have been worse. I could have been born a turkey. One of the things that a biblical church family does is to give thanks in all circumstances. That's one of the things we're going to study. And this morning, let's not forget to give thanks for one another. God has blessed us to be a part of this church family. Let's praise Him for the unruly members, and let's praise Him for the faint-hearted members, and that's what we're going to look at this morning as well. After all, we could have been born a turkey. So what have we learned thus far in our study of these verses? Well, point number one, we saw this, that in a biblical church family, the shepherd and the sheep get along well, verses 12 and 13. And then the last couple of Sundays, we've been studying verses 14 through 15, and we've learned this, that in a biblical church family, the members help one another in their weaknesses. We take after the Father. He helps us in our weaknesses. Remember, Paul said, His grace is sufficient in our weaknesses, and His power is strong. And so last week, we learned about how we should love and care for a unruly church member. And we saw that we should admonish the idle or the unruly. That is, we should go to them and speak sternly and help them to come out of the burning fire that they're in. Now, this morning, the next point we're going to study is point B, which is a biblical church family encourages the faint-hearted. So the second part of verse 14 says this, and we urge you, brothers, encourage the faint-hearted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful that You love all kinds of people. You love the unruly, and You love the faint-hearted. And You invite them all to come to faith in Jesus Christ and become a part of a local body of believers where they can receive instruction and correction and training in righteousness. And Lord, we thank You for the bond of love that we have with one another. And we thank You, Lord, that in our weaknesses, we are there to support one another when we need help the most. And so, Father, today we just simply pray this, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a taste for this, the treasure of your holy word when it comes to being a healthy, happy, and holy church family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, church family, I want to speak one fundamental point that is an overall lesson we can take from verses 14 and 15 of our study. And that is that a Christian who is born again of the Holy Spirit, placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is supposed to become a member of a Bible-believing local church family. There's no other option. It is wrong to think that you can be a Christian and not a part of a church family. That is unbiblical. And so there's two things about that that I want to mention to you right now at the get-go. And that is, I understand that being a believer is something very personal between me and the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that there is a significant importance that I have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, which involves intimate relationship with the Lord one-on-one, which involves me and my personal faith in Jesus, my personal prayer time, and my personal study of God's Word. So it is very significant that each believer develops this personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? But just as importantly, I also understand the Bible teaches us that our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, although it is personal, we are not to be private Christians. We're to have a personal relationship with the Lord, but we are not to live privately by ourselves as a believer. We must understand that there is a communal aspect to being a believer. There is a public aspect of our faith that is to be developed amongst other believers. A cord of three is not easily broken. Iron sharpens iron. Do not forsake the assembling together of the house of the Lord as some are doing. And that's because we thrive as believers with one another. That's the idea. That as a Christian, we are meant to have a church family to do life together with. We are meant for fellowship with other Christians in a community. We are meant for mutual edification, mutual support, according to the Word of God. And that's what Paul's getting at here in verses 14 and 15. And so Paul says that not only are we to admonish the unruly member, the idle member, but we are to also encourage the faint-hearted member. Well, what does it mean to be faint-hearted? I checked a couple of theologians on this, just to get their help with this word. And so one theologian makes this comment, Dr. Warren Wiersbe. He says about the faint-hearted. The faint-hearted are those who are the quitters in the church family. They always look on the dark side of things and give up when the going is tough. Every church family has its share of quitters, and they do. Faint-hearted comes from a Greek word, and it literally means little-souled, little-souled. These are Christians who are timid about their faith. They are anxious believers who have really a weak faith in the Lord and who worry too much and are often discouraged. And quite frankly, they are those who live in fear. They are paralyzed by their faint-heartedness and their fretfulness, which most times leads to a very negative attitude. They are quick to give in and quick to give up when things get tough. Dr. Swindoll, Charles Swindoll, Chuck, defines these little-souled church members this way. He writes, they are overwhelmed with anxiety, deeply discouraged, physically or emotionally debilitated. We sometimes, he writes, use the terms depressed or blue. So how's the church family? That's the faint-hearted. Now, I will tell you this, sometimes I'm faint-hearted. Aren't you? Sometimes I get down. I don't tell most of you that. Well, I just did. We all do. Right, Jeff. Jeff said we, all of us. And we all get faint-hearted at times. And that's not the particular Christian that Paul's writing about. This is a person who has a lifestyle of being fretful and anxious and worried and paralyzed by fear. And oftentimes that leads to a state of depression. So how is the church family to come alongside and help the faint-hearted believer in their weakness? Well, I think it takes a strong-hearted believer with robust faith who has walked through life and experienced the downtimes to encourage the faint-hearted. You know, the pastoral epistles speak of this, how the older men are to teach the younger men and the older women are to teach the younger women. And that is because the older are supposedly and hopefully have a longer life in the faith and have walked through hard times and good times and have seen the goodness and the faithfulness of God in those times and can come alongside and encourage them through their own personal experiences of how God is good all the time and how He is faithful to His people and how He loves even the faint-hearted. And so I believe that's the way this can go down. But sometimes it doesn't have to be just a strong faith believer. Sometimes a weak faith believer can have a moment with the Spirit and speak a word of wisdom to another person who is going through a fretful time, just as easy as a strong faith believer. And so this word encourage, it literally means to speak alongside, and it could be a synonym to the word admonish. It could be a synonym. Remember, admonish comes from the verb parakaleo, where we get the noun paraclete, which is the name for the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, when I leave, I will send the Holy Spirit. We just talked about this Wednesday night in our Bible study. I will send the Holy Spirit, and He will give you power. And so as Christians, we are a type of paraclete yourself, as ourselves, as we come along beside a fellow believer and try to instill them, infuse them with power to believe and to continue. Everybody with me? Okay. And so one theologian writes this, instead of scolding the faint-hearted from a distance, we must get close to them and speak tenderly. We must teach the little-souled that the trials of life will help to enlarge them and make them stronger in the faith. Once again, Swindoll, such church family need an affirming word, a warm embrace, a shoulder to lean on, or one to cry on. And sometimes that's all they need. And so, in other words, a strong Christian, a fellow believer, needs to partner with a weak, faint-hearted Christian and encourage them in the faith. We're not meant to be lone ranger Christians. We need the strength and the fellowship of one another's faith to be imparted to each of us. And that's what a biblical church family does. We're not meant, let me tell you this, church family, we're not meant to be faint-hearted believers. We're not meant for that. We're not meant to be anxious, worriers, timid, little-souled believers. We're not meant for that. But at times, as I've said, we all need a little help from a brother or sister in Jesus Christ who's walked in our shoes, who's experiencing the things that we are experiencing, and who themselves have come through by the grace and the mercy and the power of God and the love of their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we need. And that's how we strengthen one another's faith in the trials of life and encourage them to keep walking and not quit. Those who have seen and experienced personally and witnessed personally the power and the faithfulness of the Lord God Almighty. You know, isn't it wonderful when the Lord's people encourage one another to try greater things in the Lord? So the one lesson we can take from this point is that, church family, don't close yourself off from your church family. We need each other, especially in times of weakness. You know, someone may need an encouraging word, and one day maybe you need an encouraging word. And that's what we do for one another. We admonish the unruly, and we encourage the faint-hearted. That's what makes us happy, healthy, and holy. Well, church family, I've got a little story I'm going to close with. Well, maybe I'm not. Lord have mercy. All right, I always double check everything, and evidently I missed it today. So let me think, what was the story I was going to tell you? Oh, I got it. Thank you, Jeff. So a lady who had never fixed a turkey before called into the newspaper editor who wrote the cooking articles and called that person and said, how long does it take to bake a 22-pound turkey? To which the editor replied, just a minute, checking the charts for how long it would take. Well, this lady thought it just took a minute, so she hung up. She stopped listening too soon. And I would not have wanted to be a guest at her table, that is for sure. You know, in the same way, sometimes we as Christians, we just get frustrated with one another, don't we? We just get downhearted. We get discouraged. And we think, well, I'm just going to quit. And we quit too soon. Don't be a quitter, church family. Don't ever quit on your church family. Trust that the Lord has a plan, and He does. And it is for our good. Now, I want you to think about this just for a moment. Think of all the good God has done here today. Think of all the good He's done. How many people's hands have you shaken today in the goodness of God? How many smiles have you received today? You've been taught the Word of God in Sunday school. You've been preached and taught the Word of God in worship service. We sang wonderful hymns of the faith today here. We have praised the Lord. We have blessed the Lord. We have thanked the Lord. And we have partaken of the holy meal. I want you to think of all the good you're going to miss if you quit too soon. We're all faint-hearted at times. And that's the time we need a church family the most. Don't quit. Don't quit. But in all things, give thanks to the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this opportunity that You have afforded us at no cost. That through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Your Son, for everyone who would place their faith in Jesus Christ, they can have everlasting life and become a full-fledged member of a local body of believers. What a privilege and what an honor You have given to us, Lord, and we thank You. And we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to partake of the holy meal and have a little bit of heaven on earth today. And we look forward to that day when we drink it anew with the Lord Jesus Christ, face to face forevermore. In his name, the name that is above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.